Morning.
It's on. I'm honored to get to share today as one of the guys that got left behind from the Ohio trip. Whatever. No, I am. Thank you. But I am honored to be here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. God, thank you for your presence. Lord, your touch this morning, your spirit, Father, we know that you are here. God, we pray that you would just continue to bless us this morning, God, that you would anoint the words here. Father, they would be from you, God, and that you would just open up our eyes and ears to hear something fresh from you. In Jesus' name, amen. I need to turn on my iPad just now because I walked in this morning and I looked at it, and I'm at 16%. But I have some backups. I emailed it to Ryan, so he's got his iPad waiting. And I have it on my phone as well, so we're going to be okay. But throw some prayers up as I'm speaking. I'll give you counts, 11%, 8%. So we'll keep this going. All right, here we go. Well, I have, over the years, I guess, I have developed kind of a reputation around here for liking certain things. I'm a Disneyland fan. You may know that. I'm a Narnia fan. Yes. Cade always says that there's something wrong with me. I like all the things that kids like. And yesterday, Cade and I actually, along these lines, this is how deep it gets. We went to a Star Wars convention. That's a whole, it was his idea. He said, Dad, let's go to this thing. So I said, fine, I didn't want to go. So we went to a Star Wars convention, and I have learned that I am a pretty mild Star Wars fan. I am very mild. No, I didn't, I just dressed normal. They literally returned this corner, and they had tattoo stations, like 12 tattoos, guys getting tattoos. It's crazy. Check it out. Kay, do you want to show them yours first? But it was different. But we'll be back. But one of the things that I also enjoy, and I have not really, I don't know if I've talked about this much, but I also have always had a love of Superman. You can see it in my phone case. This is, I mean, a kid in my class got this for me. So it's the real deal. I just have. I've always had a thing for the Man of Steel since I was a little boy. I don't know what it is. He's got this power, but yet he's good, and just a big fan of Superman. Superman has a lot of powers. I'm sure a lot of us could, we know the powers. He could fly, he has super strength, invulnerability, which is important, heat vision, x-ray vision, super breath, which he discovered when he was 7 blowing out his birthday candles, and another one, which you don't hear much about, is super hearing. Raise your hand if you knew Superman had super hearing. It is probably the most important power that he has, or one of them, because it is by Superman's super hearing that he knows when bad things are happening. He hears it. He hears the sirens. He hears the car crash. And he knows, that's how he knows when things are happening. According to the comics, he can hear one voice in a city. He can decipher one voice in a city. So that's pretty good hearing. A couple years ago, or last year, Man of Steel came out, which was the new reboot of Superman. It was pretty good. Sorry, missed some things. But one thing they really did, which I loved, they had him when he was a kid, and his powers are starting to reveal themselves, and the super hearing was kicking in, and he was hearing everything. And you see, he's a little kid, and he's like holding his ears. He can't control it because he's hearing so much. And there's a scene where his mom talks him down and try to focus on my voice. Try to focus on my voice. Just to hear her voice. And that's how he was able to block out all these other voices and focus on what he wanted to hear. And that's what he needed to do. And then Superman returns. I'm going real geek on you here. I apologize. You see him fly up into the city, or up into space, and he's above Metropolis. This is the movie before Man of Steel. I thought it was by far much better. We can talk about that another time. And you see him. His eyes are closed, and he's hearing everything. He's hearing the frequencies, and then he hears this. Through it all, you hear this alarm, this burglary alarm, and then everything else gets quiet, and he only hears that. And then, whoom, he flies down and stops the bank robbery. It was an awesome scene. Let's cue that up right now. I'm just kidding. But that's what I wanted to talk about tonight. We actually will be queuing something up in about 10 minutes, so. I like that. About the voices that we hear in this life, the voices that we are bombarded with in this life, and I'm gonna break it up into three. The world, I'm gonna do the first two pretty quickly. The world, the voices of the world, and the distractions of the world, our own voice that we hear, and then gonna spend a little bit more time in the end with the enemy and hearing his voice and what he says, and then obviously on God's voice. So starting with the world that we live in, it's a pretty busy world, and it doesn't get any easier. We're discovering that. It does not get any easier. The world seems to be getting louder. I wanted to read from Luke 8:5-8, and it's the parable of the sower. And Jesus says, "The sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great." As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The one I wanted to highlight is the seed, which is the word of God, that fell among the thorns. And a few verses later, Jesus describes, when they ask him, what does this mean? And he goes into it, and he tells them what each of the different grounds that they get thrown into. And he goes into the thorns in 14. He says, "The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity." I think that is something that we deal with a lot. I think living in Orange County, that's a big struggle that we have, these distractions. My life is distracted. It's so easy to get distracted. Kids, it used to just be kids, career, family, friends, social life. But now, it's not getting any quieter. Technology has not made our life easier. It hasn't. I think it's added more to these distractions. Texting, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Spotify, Pandora, YouTube, FaceTime, Tango. Familiar with these? And these are probably, yes, some people here are laughing at me. Those things are so old school. Those things that I've just said. They're all these new things now. So the distractions of the world to pull us away, to get our focus off of God. Again, all these things coming at us, these voices, that is one of them. And then the news, as we watch the news and things that are happening, it's so easy to get our focus off of him. And it's so important that we keep our focus, that we know that each morning, whatever that is, that we remember who we are and we remember who he is. The world is getting louder. I remember about 10 years ago, Aaron and I were working with the youth, and we did some on-the-street cams and interviewed some people. And we were, I think the question that we were asking people is, what drives you? And we were coming out of In-N-Out, I remember this, and we met this really obnoxious guy. He just said, what drives him? You could just tell he had all the answers. And he's a good guy. I mean, I'm sure he's a good guy. Definite believer. But he said, you know, what drives me is I'm going to have, like, home churches in every country. But he had it in just a very obnoxious, arrogant way, the way he said it. And then he said, what I don't have is a 4-foot cesspool pumped into my living room. And he was talking about his TV. It's this 4-foot cesspool, and yeah, I don't have that. And it's just, but one thing he did say, he said, you want to know why atheists don't like it quiet? They need noise. He said, because they will hear the voice of God. And that hit me. That, I loved what he said there. That hit me. I think he's right on that. How often do we get quiet? Really turn everything off. And again, all those things I've listed have happened since then, and these technology things that are just vying for our attention, these distractions, and to get quiet is so important. So, and I pray that he has his home churches, and I'm sure God is doing great things in his life. We just kind of remember walking away, even with the high schoolers, it was just kind of funny. But I liked what he said there. That's true. Aaron and I have this new thing that we've been doing. It's called a business meeting. We heard some talks on marriage, and to have a date night is one thing, but then you want to have a business meeting, where you're talking about things, more business type things, things of the house, the family. This way your date night, which could so easily turn into a business meeting, so you keep them separate, and I'm still working on the date nights. Gotta throw that in there. But the business meeting, the importance of stopping, letting the kids play, and us getting alone and talking to each other with no distractions. So that's so important in a marriage. It's so important, obviously, with God, because the world is getting louder. The other is ourself, other voice that we are hearing. And this is not an all-encompassing talk. You know, we could talk about the world, things from the world, for a whole series on that. We can talk about our voice from within, and but I just want to talk about when we are just listening to our own voice. And that is what I love about this church. The importance of community shows if we're just by ourselves, if we're just listening to our own voice, the community is so important to bounce ideas off of other people, things that we're struggling with. Because if we're only hearing from ourselves, if we're only listening to ourselves, I think some of the things that we could hear are just a lot of insecurities, is one thing, or pride. We went to, I wrote a book about the hospital with Cade, Superhero Training School it was called, and Aaron and I were invited. The Register had this Everyday Heroes Awards banquet, and the Register did a little paper on the book, and we got invited to this thing as an everyday hero. I know you're not supposed to brag about things. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing, and I understand that because you'll lose your reward in heaven. The truth is, I lost this reward in heaven a long time ago. Because I'm telling people this. But it's God's glory. It really is. He did it. But Eric Reese, who is the man from the Jesse Reese Foundation, Jesse's dad, who started NIGU, Never Ever Give Up, he was the keynote speaker. And he said, when you get in a room like this, because there were all these heroes, every week, there were 52 heroes there, every week they had somebody who did something amazing, serving people in Rwanda, and just amazing ministries and things that they're doing. And Eric said, be careful not to compare. Because in a room like this, either one of two things are going to happen. You're either going to feel terrible about yourself hearing these other people's stories, or what's the other? You're going to get all puffed up. So when in 2 Corinthians 10:12, it says, for we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves, but when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. It could very easily, when we're just watching what we do, to get puffed up. And that's what community is for people to say, you know, your head's a little big, or to encourage you in the other way. Proverbs 16, 18, and 19, it says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. It is better to be humble in spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. So once again, if we're just hearing our own voice without community, we can get puffed up. Or the other side, down. We can get down on ourselves. One of the things I love to read, I mentioned this, are the Narnia series. And Horse and His Boy is the fifth book. And it's this talking horse, Bree. Anyone read Horse and His Boy? We still haven't read these yet. Huh? Have we read it? Read it, Hannah? I'm going to put it into Kevin that the Chronicles of Narnia be the Christmas Eve book this year. Wait, I'm an elder now. But Bree is a horse from Narnia, and as a little foal, he is taken from Narnia to live in another country, Calormen, where they don't have talking animals. So he kept it to himself, and he acted like all the other dumb, witless animals. And he grew up to be the strong war horse, and did a lot of amazing things. And the book is about his escape from Calormen, this other country, back to Narnia, and along the way he picks up a boy who also wants to escape. So they go and they do these incredible things. But the whole thing through the story, Bree is this strong, proud horse. And he's got this little boy who hasn't done much. And it turns out in the book that the little boy, they get chased by lions at one point. The little boy hops off the horse to go fight the lions, and Bree runs for his life. So at the next scene, they're in with this hermit. And Bree is all sad. He said, I will never go to Narnia. How can I go to Narnia? I'm disgraced. I've disgraced myself. I've lost everything. And then the hermit says to him, my good horse, you've lost nothing but your self-conceit. No, no, cousin, don't put back your ears and shake your mane at me. If you are really so humbled as you sounded a minute ago, you must learn to listen to sense. You're not quite the great horse you had come to think from living among poor, dumb horses. Of course you were braver and clever than they. You could hardly help being that. It doesn't follow that you'll be anyone very special in Narnia. But as long as you know you're nobody very special, you'll be a very decent sort of horse. I love that. As long as you know you're nobody very special, you'll be a very decent sort of horse. It's the complete opposite of what the world is saying, of how great we are. To not think so much of ourselves. And when we're not in community, that could happen. We can get very puffed up. We can get the other side very discouraged. And the enemy will definitely play upon that. He'll feed it either way. He loves to feed it either way. That's the third voice, which is Satan. And I want to say that I sat down Wednesday I wasn't in the service last week. I was upstairs with the kids. And I sat down, got quiet with God, and this outline poured out of me. And then after, I listened to Kevin's message, and there were some similarities to it. But I promise, I sat down before I listened to it. But honestly, it's different enough about the enemy that it more validated it than anything, that God is doing something. Then I went upstairs with the guys group and talking very similar things. So I definitely think God is moving in this body and saying some things. About the enemy, who's another voice. So we have the world, our own self, which we need to be aware of, and then obviously the enemy, who's also constantly talking to us and whispering things. Some things about him: he is not God's equal. A misconception a lot with kids is that God is good, Satan is bad, and they're equal in power, and they're just duking it out over the world, and whoever's going to win. Okay, that is not what the Bible says. God will defeat Satan. Satan is a created being. He is limited to time and space. He can only be in one place and one time. So how can he be causing all of this strife? What is he doing? Well, he's not alone. When he fell, the Bible says that he took a third of the angels with him. So, and they are now demons. So the enemy is out there. And he will play on our pride, our ego, our insecurities. He's whispering things into us. One of the biggest things is he is the accuser of the brethren. I know Kevin shared upon that last week, and the importance of wearing the helmet of salvation. his lies and condemnation. He will accuse us all of the time. In 2 Corinthians 11, 12 through 14, "But what I am doing, I will continue to do, so that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." As we're walking, and we are, and I'm talking of Satan as the accuser of the brethren. Condemnation. He will whisper that in our ears. He will tell us that we're not good enough, we're not this, we'll never measure up. And if we keep hearing that for our life, he will disguise himself. We will think that it's from God. We'll think that that's God talking to us, or ourselves. I'm this discouraged person. And that's what he wants us to do. He knows he's lost us. You know, so what's the point? Why would he bother with us? He knows he's lost us. Once we put our faith in Christ, he has lost us. But he would love to render us ineffective for the kingdom, to have us beaten down, joyless, to rob our joy. So how do we recognize that voice? How do we recognize the voice of the enemy? I think one of the biggest things is, what is the goal? What is that, whatever that voice is that you're feeling, what is it causing you to do? Is it causing you to run from God and hide? Because God doesn't work like that. The difference of condemnation from the enemy or conviction of the Holy Spirit. The conviction of the Holy Spirit will prompt us to run back to God, to run away from our sin. I think that's the difference. The enemy, the accuser, the accusation of the enemy wants us to hide, run away from God. That's the goal. That's what he wants us to do. The Holy Spirit wants us to run to him. And we see this in the prodigal son in Luke 15. After he had his inheritance and he had spent it all, "Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have greatly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.'" When he came to his senses, what did he do? He said, "I will go up and go back to my father." That's God working in us, to drive us back to him, not to run further away. The Holy Spirit, his conviction of the Holy Spirit brings us closer to God. And in Luke 15, 20, "So he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him." That's the God we serve. And Satan would have us not believe in that God. He wants us to see God as this ogre, this mean, he's angry with us. Those are the lies of the enemy. So if you're finding yourself wanting to hide from God, you can safely say that you are being acted upon, but not by God. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't work like that. God doesn't work like that. That's the enemy, and we need to be able to recognize that. In Romans, it says, "Knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance." It's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. So are we running and hiding from God, or are we running from sin and back to him? And that's another reason why community is so important. Sometimes we need someone to tell us that, to tell us this. Because if we're by ourselves, again, we'll think it's us. Or we'll think, no, I know if we need to repent of sin, we need to repent from sin. This isn't a license to sin by any means, that God will forgive you. He will. But you know, Jesus says, go and sin no more. But if we're walking for so many years, and it can be years, in this condemnation, there's a lot of power in community to have someone say, you know something? That's not from God. That's the enemy. There's power in that. Just relabeling it. Oh, really? All these years, I thought it was God. I thought God was angry with me all these years. I was picturing him angry. Okay, or I was just feeling condemned my whole life. Yeah, God doesn't talk like that. God convicts you and he doesn't want you to sin, but that is a lie from the enemy. And there's so much power in simply relabeling it, calling it what it is. Oh, that's not God. That's the enemy. I think it loses almost all of its power just by saying that. Because you thought it was God. Oh, it's the enemy? The power is gone. And then the next time it comes back, you could almost, no, that's a lie. Get behind me, Satan. And that's it. And then you run back to your Father who loves you and welcomes you with open arms. The power of relabeling, the power of just pulling the disguise off and saying, you know something? That is a lie. That's the enemy. Get behind me, Satan. It's kind of like this clip that I want to show right here. Can you get the lights, Dale? Oh, got it over there.
Plenty of time already.
Yeah. Do not arouse the wrath of the great and powerful Oz. I said, come back tomorrow.
If you are really great and powerful, you keep your promises.
Do you presume to criticize the great Oz? You ungrateful creatures, think yourselves lucky that I'm giving you audience tomorrow instead of 20 years from now.
Oh.
The great Oz has spoken.
Oh.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. The great Oz has spoken.
Who are you?
Oh, I am the great and powerful Wizard of Oz.
You are? I don't believe you.
No, I'm afraid it's true. There's no other wizard except me.
You humbug!
Yeah. Yes, it's exactly so. I'm a humbug.
Oh, you're a very bad man.
Oh, no, my dear. I'm a very good man. I'm just a very bad wizard.
Do you see why I picked that clip? Just the power of relabeling. How strong that the voice of Oz was at the beginning. And I mean, scare. I remember as a kid, it was a scary voice and the whole thing. No, look, whoom, move the curtain. That's all it is. So this condemnation, the enemy, once you call him what it is and relabel him, oh, no, that's not from God. That's the enemy. It loses so much of a power. He's not going to give up. It's not the end. You know, this analogy falls in many, many places. He's not a nice guy like the wizard. But the truth of just knowing the truth, that is a lie from the enemy, and being able to say that, it loses so much of its power. So that's what community is for, to help each other in that. Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Knowing God's word. Romans 8:33, who will bring a charge against God's elect? Knowing verses like this to call out those lies. If you know these verses, you can say, wait a second, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So that's got to be a lie from the enemy. Get behind me, Satan, and then you move forward. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? I mean, it's a rhetorical question. Nobody is what he's saying there. So recognizing the voice of our enemy, and then running to God. And obviously, God's voice, hearing God's voice. John 10:24 says, my sheep
hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My people hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. How do we hear his voice? How do we know what's from God? Well, we spend time with him. You know, we know his word, the truths of his word. So that's how we know if something is from God, if we're hearing God's voice. And again, hearing God's voice, we could talk on lots of different areas about that. People getting words from the Lord, that's not what I'm talking about here. It's just that steady voice of God always talking to us and knowing his voice. The more we know him, the more that we will know it's him. And the more we spend time in his word, the more that we will know it's God. I have kids at my school, in my class that I teach. You know, they would say, someone would come up to me and say, oh, Mr. Spinello, Billy did this, Billy did that. Now, in September, when I really don't know Billy very well, I'd call Billy over and talk to him, did this happen? But by around December, January, when I get to know the kids and someone says, Billy did this, I could say, well, that doesn't sound like something Billy would do. That does sound something like Billy would do. Come on over here, Billy. And I'll, you know, and so the more I know my kids, the more I know how they are and if that's something that they would do. Same with God. The more time we spend with him, the more we know his word. When a counterfeit arises, a lie, we can spot it easier. We need to know who he is and what he says about us. And then we need to believe it. Because a lot of us, we can quote a lot of scriptures, but do we believe it when he says we're forgiven? We can believe, yeah, God says these things, but we have to actually believe it. Do I believe these things that the Bible says about me? And there are so many amazing things the Bible says. Neil Anderson has a book, The Bondage Breakers, years ago, but he has this whole list of our identity in Christ and who we are. And he taught, and just through scriptures, in John, I am God's child. As a disciple, I am a friend of Jesus. I have been justified. A lot of us know these verses. I am united with the Lord, and I am one with him in spirit. Just knowing God's word and believing on it, believing that he says these things. We need to know who he is and what he has said about us to spot the enemy. FBI agents, we've heard this, they don't study counterfeit money. What do they study? The real thing. They study the real thing. They can spot a counterfeit right away. So being a student of God's word and believing what he has said about us, his voice. I've used this analogy before, but we have a lot of new people here, so I can use it again. But one of my favorite movies, The Lion King. Many of us have seen it, but you have Simba, who is the rightful king, and for his father has been killed, and he thinks it's himself. Scar's yelling, you did it, you need to, this is your fault, you better run, Simba. And he runs, that's the enemy lying to him, it wasn't his fault. So he runs and he lives in the jungle, and he meets Timon and Pumbaa, these kind of goofy guys, and their motto is Hakuna Matata, and there he is, living in the jungle, eating bugs, and not living the life that he is supposed to live. Running from his past and just living in the jungle with these guys that they're funny, they're great guys, but they're not a good influence on Simba by any means. So then one day, Rafiki, the monkey, comes up to Simba and has him follow him out there, and he says, your father's alive, he lives in you, and he looks and looks up in the sky, and Mufasa, his father, appears in the clouds, and is this voice that you hear of James Earl Jones, who's the voice of Darth Vader. He says, Simba, you have forgotten me. You have forgotten who you are. Remember who you are. And just that's so powerful. We need to remember who we are. We need to know what the Bible says about us. Because as we've learned here and know, there are so many other things. We are hearing all these voices in our heads. The world is scrounging to get our attention. our own self by itself, unchecked by others, is not a good thing, just our own voice, and then obviously the enemy, all to pull our attention away from the God who made us, who loves us, who died for us. So to know what it says about him, and to remember who we are in Christ, who we are in Christ, and who he has made us to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are, God. We thank you for your word. God, thank you that you love us, that you made us. Lord, we ask that you would give us ears to hear. God, open up our eyes to any lies of the enemy that we've been listening to and believing. Lord, help us to relabel that and say that's not from you. Lord, if our attention has been distracted from all these other voices of the world vying for our attention, Lord, we ask that help us to push those distractions away and hear your voice, to make an effort to do that, to turn the TV off, to turn, just get quiet with you, that we can hear your voice. And God, the thoughts that we have, Lord, that we would test them all with Scripture, that we would know your word well enough that we can test these things, to see that whether they are from you. And Lord, help us to know you so well, to know your voice so well that we can spot a counterfeit immediately. Open up our eyes and ears to more of you. In Jesus' name, amen.